You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Earlier this week, Defence Minister Judith Collins announced that $2 billion would be set aside in this year's budget to replace the Defence Force's maritime helicopters. This would be outside the additional $12 billion that the government will be investing in the Defence Capability Plan, and would include another separate $1 billion investment in the Defence Force over the next 4 years. In that same week, Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith recently announced that Cabinet had reinstated a total ban on prisoners voting in general elections, which would overturn laws under the previous Labour government allowing prisoners serving less than 3 years to vote. And Green Party MP Steve Abel recently added the Animal Products Closing the Welfare Gap Amendment Bill to the biscuit tin, which would ensure that imported products in Aotearoa met our animal welfare standards. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March to discuss all of these issues. So firstly, I'd like to ask what your reaction is to the government's plan to invest $12 billion in replacing the Navy's helicopters.
It just really shows that when the government wants, they can absolutely find billions and billions of dollars to tackle issues. And yet we've been told that, for example, the government doesn't have even $3 billion to address issues like child poverty, that we don't have enough resourcing to build public housing, that we don't have enough money to have decent public transport infrastructure. And that raises a lot of questions, such as, why is increased military spending more of a priority than people having their bare essentials being met? And it really puts to question whether the government's prioritizing siding with the US or actually people having a roof over their head, decent quality health care, and children having decent incomes in their household to put food on the table.
With this expenditure being almost identical to the operating allowance in budget 2025, how does this leave you feel in the lead up to the budget announcement?
Well, the government is not actually doing enough to prioritize the basic essentials that people need, such as quality healthcare, food on the table, good quality housing, and instead is pandering to the US, who has called in many countries for an increase in military spending. We acknowledge that the Defense Force can play a massive and important role in helping us with relief when natural disasters strike and to help our Pacific neighbors, but that is very different from investing billions in military capabilities rather than actually simply having a defense force that is fit to meet the needs of the region when it comes to natural disasters and the like, or humanitarian aid, for example.
Right, so going off of what you just said, noting that the helicopters will be used for humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, do you think that this could potentially be a good investment given the increasing number of climate-related disasters in the Pacific?
Yeah, but there's a difference between replacing, for example, a helicopter fleet or other types of equipment so that they're modern and don't break down, to then investing billions more so that they have fighting capacity. And that's the difference here, is that we are spending money to basically prepare for war as opposed to actually spending resources to have a defense force that is fit for purpose to respond to natural disasters or humanitarian aid where possible. And this is the problem, that the government has justified spending billions and billions of dollars on military spending and yet has defended not being able to spend even a fraction of what they're spending in military spending on things like ending child poverty, quality health care, good public housing, and the things that people need to live good lives.
And do you think that our increased expenditure in the military signifies that the government might drag New Zealand into a wider regional conflict at some point?
Well, that is a question for the government, and it does make us feel that the government is moving closer to how Australia operates, which is a country that has taken a much more cavalier approach to joining the US and its allies when there are wars going on in the world. And if we look at how the US has operated recently and their complete disregard for human rights and rules-based order, I think that that should be something that we should be worried about, because we shouldn't be tying ourselves to countries that have simply no respect for rules-based international order or human rights altogether.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith recently announced that Cabinet had reinstated a total ban on prisoners voting in general elections. This would overturn laws under the previous Labour government that would allow prisoners serving less than 3 years to vote, and dismisses rulings and recommendations from the High Court and Waitangi Tribunal. So next, I'd like to ask, what was your reaction to Paul Goldsmith's voting ban for prisoners?
Well, it's well in line with their approach to disenfranchising people. The reality is that people should still have a right to participate in democracy. It's really dangerous for the government to then start picking and choosing who can actually participate in these democratic processes or otherwise. Not everybody who is in prison has committed things like violent crimes, and we shouldn't be disenfranchising actually a substantive amount of the population to do populist politics. It's a dangerous precedent, and it genuinely opens up a slippery slope of further disenfranchising other groups that the government just simply does not like.
Would you describe this recent announcement as undemocratic?
Well, it is undemocratic when you disenfranchise people from being able to participate in our democratic processes. It actually wasn't that many generations ago that women couldn't vote, that people who didn't own land couldn't vote. And I think to me that, you know, we need to have a mature conversation about our justice system. We need to have a mature conversation of how we can stop violence in our communities. Disenfranchising people from being able to partake in our democratic processes doesn't actually do any of those things.
Do you think that the government is trying to suppress voters who might vote for opposition parties in the next general election?
Well, that seems to be their argument. But actually, to me, it doesn't matter whether people who are currently in prison vote for the left or the right. It's about retaining their rights to participate in democracy. When the government makes these arguments around, and you know, they clearly have attacked the opposition for thinking those things, it shows that actually their motivations do seem to be in line with suppressing the rights of voters who may overall not be supportive of the government. But that's beyond the point. It shouldn't matter whether it's a left or right government doing this. It's unacceptable.
What do you make of the government rejecting advice and rulings from organizations like the High Court and Waitangi Tribunal?
Well, it's a very Trumpian approach to doing politics, right? I mean, the government has completely ignored the judiciary and the Waitangi Tribunal in this case. And they just simply don't care. They don't care for what the courts have to say on these issues. They are taking a cavalier anti-democratic approach with no disregard to people who are in prison being able to continue participating in our democracy. And it opens up the door for the government to strip away democratic rights for other groups that the government just simply deems to not like. It's a really dangerous precedent. But it's well in line with what the government has done, which is to ignore the courts, ignore the evidence, ignore the research, and just do whatever they want.
Paul Goldsmith has criticized the previous Labour government for being soft on crime by allowing low-sentence prisoners to vote. Do you think that a voting ban for prisoners will have any impact on crime or law and order?
There's no evidence of that, and Paul Goldsmith does not care about evidence, does not care about research, does not care about the truth. He's lying through his teeth when it comes to the motivations of stripping away the democratic rights of people who are in prison, and particularly those with short sentences. Many of them who are likely in prison not for violent crimes and for other issues. And so, again, this is massively undemocratic, populist, and simply seeks to disenfranchise groups of people that the government does not seem to like. And it's something we should all be against, no matter our views on the justice system or about those prisoners altogether.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Green Party MP Steve Abel recently added a new members bill to the biscuit tin, which would ensure that imported products in Aotearoa met our animal welfare standards. The Animal Products Closing the Welfare Gap Amendment Bill would ban imports of any animal product unless the exporter could show that the animal was raised with the same standards expected from local farmers. So next, I'd like to ask, can you tell us about Steve Abel's new members bill in your own words?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty clear that if we've got animal welfare laws here in New Zealand that set those minimum standards of how animals should be treated, consumers should expect that the products they buy on the shelves have met those standards as well. So this is simply closing a loophole that exists that means that we can import animal products where they've been treated in appalling conditions, and yet our domestic growers are expected to actually meet some pretty basic and needed standards when it comes to animal welfare. So this is actually simply bringing the products on the shelf in line with what is required domestically, and this will give better clarity to consumers, but it will also lift the animal welfare standards of the products that we have in our shelves.
How many products come into Aotearoa that might go against our animal welfare standards?
It will be a substantive number, and we have seen, for example, coverage from organizations about poor animal welfare standards in other parts of the world. I think this is also about the transparency that consumers deserve when it comes to what they're buying in the shelves. Because again, you know, we see a lot of labels of domestic products about how they're meeting the standards and they're expecting to meet the standards, and some go above and beyond. I think consumers want to make sure that what they're buying from overseas meets some basic standards set domestically as well.
Is it possible that limiting imports, even if it is to protect animal welfare standards, could limit choice and drive up prices?
The issue of prices actually is mostly as a result of the supermarket's way of operating. And so the rises that we have seen in the shelves, a lot has to do with how supermarkets operate. You know, they're lifting prices and yet making humongous profits at the same time. If supermarkets were serious about consumers having affordable goods, they would be doing more to stop price gouging and operating in ways that leave everyday people without the means to put food on the table.
Lastly, do you think that this bill might receive bipartisan support if it gets discussed in Parliament?
That is a hope, because at the end of the day, this puts our domestic products in line with what is imported from overseas. And this will ultimately benefit consumers and domestic producers. So our hope is that we can get behind this common sense bill that closes a loophole that exists and that this doesn't become a massively bipartisan issue.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the $2 billion boost for Navy helicopters, the voting ban for prisoners, and the party's new members' bill to ensure that imported products meet animal welfare regulations.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.